tell you something about Elvis Presley. 6 weeks before he died, a reporter interviewed him and asked him, when you first started playing music, you said that you wanted to be rich, to be famous, and to be happy. Now let me ask you, are you happy? And then Elvis replied, I'm lonely as hell. I'm not happy. Despite his wealth and his reputation, Elvis, 6 weeks before he died, he honestly shared that he was not happy. What do you want for your life? What motivates you to live your life? But let me ask you, are you happy? Are you happy? Even for Christians, what motivates us subconsciously to do what we do is happiness. Think about your own experiences. We will try to avoid anything that we believe would cause us unhappiness, and we are willing to sacrifice another thing to pursue what we believe would bring us happiness. I mean, if many people, they were watching the football game, LSU, and it's at Florida, and despite maybe many exams and challenges next week, you feel that will make you happy. That's why you spend the time watching the football game. The reality is that human beings, they are driven by a desire for joy and happiness. But where is happiness? Where is happiness? People look for happiness everywhere, but I found out that many people, they look for happiness in the wrong places. People think that only more will make them happier. I had that mentality before myself. I once thought that I would be happy if I could get into the most famous high school in Hong Kong. And I thought I would be happy if I could be the best student of the class. And then I thought I would be happy if I could go to the business school in UC Berkeley. I thought I would be happy if I could get a good job, drive a nice car, and many other things, including having a beautiful girlfriend. I thought that would make me happy. I owned all these before. I can share with you that I was happy for a moment when I first owned the above mentioned, but the happiness was very temporary. It lasted only for a very short moment. The moment I owned that, I was happy, and then immediately, no more happiness. You know what? And before I was pursuing what I wanted, I thought that would make me happy, I was not happy. I was actually in suffering when I was trying to pursue something that I believed that I must have that would make me happy. In the process, I often would feel the world is not fair, the world is not good, why does he have those good things, why don't I have? So I was driven by sense of unfairness and bitterness. And after I have owned what I thought would make me happy, I became empty. And I found out that the most desperate thing in the world is that you have no more things that you think can make you happy. The more you own, actually, if you believe that owning more things will make you happy, the older you get, the more you own, you'll feel the more unhappier you become, because you have owned more and more, there are less and less things for you to own. That's why the Hollywood superstars, they are unhappy. They seem to have owned the world, and yet they have missed the secrets of true happiness that lasts. Today I'd like to share from you God's words spoken by Jesus, the secrets to happiness. And I would like to share with you some experiences in the Philippines that will prove that indeed, what Jesus taught was true, although that might seem to be hard to understand when you first read about them. If you have a Bible, you can read your Bible, open your Bible to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Today we'll just focus on looking at two verses. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, verse 4, verse 6, and verse 7. So, Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 4, 6 to 7. Okay, does everyone have that? Let me tell you a little bit about this passage, some background about this. Jesus was going to preach a sermon, but before he began this sermon, that's called with the Beatitudes, or heavenly happiness. This word in Greek means happiness, although it's translated as blessed in NIV translation. This word means happy or fortunate. I believe the reason why NIV translated that as blessed, because blessed seems to indicate a deeper sense of happiness, heavenly happiness that lasts. These qualities that Jesus mentioned could not be a product of what the Pharisees could achieve. The Pharisees mainly focus on what they can display outside, the good things that they want to show to other people. But they don't have the internal qualities that would give true lasting happiness that Jesus would teach here. We'll see four secrets of true lasting happiness. If you understand these and then actually are willing to practice these, there's no limit how much heavenly happiness you can have. The first secret to true happiness is being poor in spirit. Matthew chapter 5 verse 3 says that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does poor in spirit mean? What it means is that someone who consciously depends on God, not on themselves. They are poor, they feel a great need inside. And they see that they have no ability in themselves to please God. Such people, they can enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, because they depend on God's ability for them to please God. Man's ability cannot help us to achieve God's perfect standard of holiness. The people that I met in the Philippines were poor in spirit. You can even say that they are very poor. And they are also poor in spirit. That's why when I share the gospel on the last day of the first week, after I have already taught them about different elements of the gospel, finally, I share the whole gospel to them. There were two classes that I taught self-defense and God's word. One class, each class has 50 students. And there was another class that I taught in the afternoon, 2 hours of Taekwondo athletes. I was training them and coaching them to be in a tournament. But I always started the training, the teaching with God's word. Because I said that I can teach you self-defense and martial arts. You know what? You're going to die still, even with a very strong and fit body. Ultimate security is in God. If you know how you can have eternal night with God, then you are eternally secure, better than any type of self-defense. Because they were poor in spirit, they were able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'd like to show you a little video that my pastor friend, Pastor Neil, took while I was helping the students. After they have understood the gospel message, they have indicated willingness to trust Christ alone to be saved. And I said that you can express your willingness to trust God through a prayer. This prayer cannot save anybody. It's only the sincere change of heart to trust in Christ alone that can save someone from God's eternal wrath against our sin. But at least you'll see most of the students showed willingness We don't know whether they are truly saved or if they show willingness. Only God knows. But I praise God, at least I saw people being willing. Because in the United States, to share the message of the gospel, many people are not willing even. They are very resistant to the message of the gospel. Because they are not poor in spirit. They fill their heart with all kinds of material and desires. They don't see their need for God. That's why they cannot appreciate the kingdom of God, and as a result, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. Here's the video. It's about 2 minutes. Feel so touched by the way that God was willing to use me to help these young people while they are still poor in their spirit, pure in their heart. In comparison to the adults, they might be confused by many different theories about where the world came from, and they have shown their willingness to trust Christ alone to be saved. And I was moved by God's power, and I was so excited and so joyful when I saw what God was doing in the Philippines. And these are only the two classes, and there are so many other students that I could teach if I could have more time. That's why I'm planning to go back next year. In my life, it was when my pride was shattered when I was in UC Berkeley that I felt that I was powerless, I was impotent, that I knelt down before God. That was the time that I was willing to trust Christ alone. As a result, I was able to enter into the kingdom of God, because at that time I was poor in spirit, and I was willing to say that, God, I can do nothing by myself to earn the gift of salvation, to satisfy your standard of perfection. I need you. So it is when we see our impotence and when we see God's omnipotence that we are willing to trust God in everything we do. Do we see our impotence when we are living our daily life? Or do we think that we are able? As a result, we don't depend on God when we are doing this or doing that. But if you are willing to trust God in everything, because you see your impotence, your inability in doing anything by your own power to please God, then you're willing to trust in God's omnipotence, all-powerful God, to help you. And then you will see God's kingdom. And that is the secret, one of the secrets of true blessedness or true happiness. Let me ask you, are you poor in spirit? Or are you so proud of your own ability, knowledge, wealth, that you don't trust God in everything that you do? As a result, you miss the true happiness that only God can provide when someone is poor in spirit. The second secret of true happiness that lasts is to be able to mourn. Because Jesus said that blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Those who mourn, they recognize their needs and they present them to God. And as a result, God will help them. God will comfort those who mourn, who have expressed their needs for God. The people I met in the Philippines, they're very poor and they suffer in their life. I know a student who receives financial support from an organization. Actually, Nina and I also are part of the organization to sponsor very poor kids in the world. And she received financial support from the same organization. It's called Compassion. I also know another student who cried when we shared prayer requests together because she missed her brother so much, because her brother ran away from home and she missed her so much. They were in tears, but we prayed together and God comforted them. And that's why they're so open to acts of kindness, simple acts of kindness from me, and that they appreciate that so much. They don't take anything for granted. It was when I was in sadness, when my dad passed away, suddenly, I asked for God's comfort. And God comforted me. And that was the comfort that I could get from nobody else. I'm a very blessed man. I'm a happy man in terms of being blessed by God, because now I understand people who mourn more than before, because I have experienced mourning in sadness before, and God comforted me. Have you ever mourned before? If you have, and you have presented your sadness to God, God will be your comfort. Or in the future, if you mourn when something that you think is unfortunate happens to you, maybe the death of your dearest, closest family member, remember, God will comfort you if you seek comfort from God. And God will restore your joy again. The third secret of true happiness that lasts is hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus said that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You know what? Those people who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they have a very good appetite, spiritual appetite. Appetite for God's word. Appetite for relationship with God. Appetite to be willing to walk according to the way of righteousness of God. I was greatly encouraged when I was teaching God's word to the 2 1-hour self-defense classes in the morning, and also the selected group of Taekwondo athletes in the afternoon during the weekday, every day. Because the students were so attentive when I shared with them God's word. They appreciated God's word. I saw that in them, the hunger and the thirst for righteousness. They understood the message of the gospel. As a result, they were willing to trust in Christ alone. God fills their hearts. The second week there, I shared God's word for new believers in Jesus Christ to help them to continue to trust Christ, to live a holy life, and to grow as a spiritual baby. And they were willing to learn and put that into practice. When I was preaching, when I was teaching Sunday school or leading Bible study and training evangelists in Jesus Cares Community Church, I saw the same hunger and thirst for righteousness that I don't see much here. I was there for 3 Sundays. The church members, they were so excited about God's word when I shared with them God's word. Not because of me, but because of God's word. And they immediately put that into practice. What was shared from God's word? After I trained them how to share the gospel with people, we immediately went onto the street, to the parks, to share the gospel with people. And they experienced the power of the gospel. They saw people being willing to trust Christ, and they were so overjoyed. They were so excited. Even a 60-year-old sister was jumping in joy because she could not believe that that person on the street was willing to trust Christ simply because she shared the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only on the street. The members of the church who received the evangelism training, they were willing to take the gospel to their friends, to their relatives, and their family members that they never had a chance to share the gospel, to the security guard of the hotel where the church meets. And finally, the security guard, the family members, they had a chance to hear the gospel, and by the power of God's Spirit, most of the people that they share the gospel with believe in Jesus alone to be saved. That's why they were so pumped. They were so willing to continue to share the gospel with people because of their hunger and thirst for righteousness, and God rewarded them with true happiness that they have never experienced by owning things that the world promised that will give you happiness, but in the end will only give you emptiness. They said that they were no longer afraid to share the gospel with people because it gives them joy, happiness. It is something no longer that is a burden. Sharing the gospel is not a burden. It is the source for us to experience God's power, God's love, and God's presence. As a result, we can experience the joy that we will never experience if we don't trust God. There was another brother who learned self-defense from me. And that Sunday, that actually was last Sunday, I shared the message, anger management, how to handle your anger. And immediately he put that into practice. Because that Sunday, in the afternoon, he went onto the street, a taxi almost hit him. But the taxi driver who almost hit him was the angry person. He tried to hit my friend, my brother of Jesus Christ Community Church. Some evil people, they have offended people, and yet they pretend that they are offended. They try to attack people first. And indeed, he punched my friend. My friend learned some good techniques, and he was actually pretty strong. But I believe that he immediately put into practice anger management through the Holy Spirit to learn how to forgive, to control his anger. As a result, he did not hit back. And I was so glad to hear that, because I was afraid that he would misuse the self-defense techniques that I taught him. Because if he knows self-defense, the human body is very fragile. I can kill someone very easily because I know the weak points on someone's body. He did not misuse that. I thank God for that. I believe he probably would have shared that experience with other brothers and sisters. What a difference it makes for us to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Put into practice what God wants us to do. It is only those people who put into practice what they have learned from God's word will be truly blessed by God and will experience true happiness that the world cannot give. Only God can give. Do you hunger? Do you thirst for righteousness? Or are you already spiritually full, stuffed by so many other things? When you come to the church, are you just going through the motion of coming because this is what your parents want you to do? This is because your friends come, so you come. Has this become a social gathering so that what you might look forward to actually is what will happen after the church worship service? Lunch together, some fun activities together, to hang out with your friends together. Is that the reason why you come to church? Or is it because you hunger and thirst for righteousness? If you indeed thirst and hunger for righteousness, anything that is correctly taught from God's word, you will appreciate. And you will immediately put that into practice. If you don't thirst and hunger for God's word, I can take the whole Bible and tell you what the Bible means, and you'll do nothing, and you'll get sick and tired of reading God's word, and you'll do nothing about it, and you become so critical because you have more knowledge, and you become someone who crosses his hands and criticizes what the preacher is teaching or preaching, and you do nothing about what God tells you to do. I'm not saying that when you're in the audience crossing your hands, you are the person. Okay, Albert, didn't mean that. Okay. So, let us thirst and hunger for righteousness. That's one of the secrets for you to experience true happiness in Jesus. Let me share with you some photos. That was when I was sharing God's word. Before I taught self-defense to one of the classes, all the students were so attentive. And this is the evangelism training in the church. 14 brothers and sisters actively participated in the training. After that, they went onto the street. This is a sister and a brother sharing the gospel with the security guards of the hotel where we met for worship and Sunday school and training. This is in the park across from the street, and this is a brother who was sharing the gospel with a couple in the park. This is the Bible study in the home of one of the sisters, and a couple in the church. They were so attentive to read, to study God's word, and they would pray together so sincerely. You see that the home is not very beautiful, not very comfortable, no AC, very hot, humid, and yet people, they were so hungry and thirsty for God's word. This is when my students farewell me last Friday. They farewell me and they appreciate me. On this, they wrote their personal notes of appreciation. That's another group of students, and they were so happy. Okay, and that's my Taekwondo students, a selected group of Taekwondo students. They might seem to be fragile and very skinny, but don't mess with them. They're very good. Okay, they're very fast and very very powerful when they spar. And I have to ask them to continue to control yourself when you spar. You don't want to hurt each other. Okay, even if you wear all the gear, you can get hurt. And this is my Taekwondo students' personal farewell and appreciation, and two of them sang songs in Cebuano. The name of the city is Cebu, and the language is Cebuano. The first song, I couldn't understand that because it was in Cebuano. The second song in English, praising God for bringing me there. I want to share this joy with you, the happiness they have, the appreciation they have for just a simple act of kindness. What made the difference? Why do we have so much and yet we are not happy? Why do these people have so little and yet so happy? Think about that. Because Jesus said that, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are those who are merciful. Those people who extend mercy, who are willing to give to others because other people are in need, they are demonstrating God's mercy, which they have experienced, and God will continue to extend mercy to them. I grew up in an underprivileged environment in mainland China, and I was an introvert. I guess I'm still an introvert, although when I share God's word, God gives me the bonus to share, but in private, I'm a very introverted person. Just like the speaker for our all church retreat, Pastor Greg. He said that you might see me so energetic when I'm preaching God's word, but after I preach God's word, I just want to hide myself because I feel so discharged as an introverted person after I've spoken in public, being with people, and then I just need rest, you know, in private. Extroverted people are different. They can draw energy from people when they are with people, and they will feel discharged when they are alone. See, I was growing up in an underprivileged environment, and I was an introvert, and I was often neglected by the popular people in school. But God let me meet many merciful people in my life. They truly cared for me when nobody else was around. So that's why I was often with the people who were also underprivileged and neglected. Either in church or in my life, I've met many people. Nobody cared for them. So because God gave me that merciful heart, so I just reached out to them. And I think besides caring for the friends that you already know, who already have friends, do not neglect those people who are less popular, who are introverted, who are underprivileged. Because Jesus said that in Matthew 25:40, the king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." What I did for anyone in need, when God touches my heart to care for that person, I did that for God. That's my reward. And God will reward me with happiness this world cannot give, and only God can give. That's the reason why I went to the Philippines, because I heard the cry for help from the senior pastor of the church, Jesus Cares Community Church. He was my seminary friend. He shared in his newsletter that his church needed help, short-term missionaries, financial support in many ways. Because the people there, many of the congregation members, they did not have a job. Only a few congregation members, they had job, and yet they could only offer very little because they have very no salary from their job. So I went there, I tried to be merciful. Guess what? It was I who experienced mercy from God. God rewarded me with heavenly happiness that motivated me to get up very early in the morning, 6 o'clock, before the alarm clock. When I was already up, because I was so excited to see what God will use me in, and the power of the gospel and God's word in these people's lives. You notice that when I was teaching God's word in the big gym, I was shouting at the tip of my voice. There was no microphone, no speakers. The gym was very big, very noisy, because the gym was surrounded by classrooms, students. In the classroom, they were reading, and outside, there was an outdoor track. Athletes were exercising, making huge noises. And next to us, some people were playing badminton. And I was speaking to such a big crowd, I was afraid that on the second day, I would lose my voice. Because I was shouting for 2 hours in the morning, and another 2 hours in the afternoon, in another room that's smaller, but you see that it was also very noisy, that small taekwondo room. People in other rooms, they were making so much noise. God protected my voice. That's why I was able to do that for 2 weeks without losing my voice, and I can still share with you God's word today. That's God's mercy. God's mercy also kept me safe. Many of you were very worried when I was in the Philippines. You guys read the national news about what happened in Manila, the typhoons that in a very short period of time just almost submerged the city of Manila, the height of a human being. And many cars, they were floating when the cars were driving on the road. Many people died, and many of you worried for my safety. Thank you for your prayers. God kept me safe. I was on a different island. This island is in the middle of the Philippines, so it's sheltered by all the other islands. I show you a map. Manila is on the very edge, so whenever there's a typhoon, it will often suffer. Some of you were so worried that I would be attacked by robbers because they heard horrible stories about robbers, or that I would lose my luggage or my money or my belongings because they heard the stories about that pickpockets were all over the place. You know what? I didn't lose anything, and I went there safely, and I came back safely. It's all because of your prayers and because of God's grace to protect me. I wasn't sure what would happen when I decided to go, but I knew that I was in God's hands. There was a 27-hour flight just one way, and it could be very, very tiring, but I know my security is not in the pilot, but in our God. So that's why I'm able to come back safely. Let me ask you, are you willing to be merciful? To be merciful to the people who are in your lives, who are underprivileged, who are poor, who don't have much, while you have a lot. You have friends, you already have a lot of material things. Are you not willing to share a little with those who are in need? If you're willing, I believe you'll experience more mercy from God. And you'll experience the happiness that nothing in this world can give. Only God can give. That's what I experienced. So let me summarize. There are four secrets of happiness. But the key is that only those who see their own impotence and see God's omnipotence can experience such happiness that lasts. The key is that when you see that you are not able and you see that God is able, you trust God, then you will be able to experience this happiness that lasts and that counts in eternity. Not willing, I'll go back to Cebu next year again. And my students, they said, when are you coming back? Can you stay with me here? I said, I have to go because the church only announced me to be away for 3 Sundays. So I have to go back. But next year, I have another 3 Sundays. That's a little bit more than 2 weeks to go there to share with them God's word and to share the gospel with other students who have not heard the gospel yet. There are so many students who have not heard the gospel. And yet, their hearts are ready. Because this country believes in God. They just do not understand that you have to trust in Christ alone. Salvation is by grace, through faith in Christ alone, not by good works. They still depend on good works. Next year, if I can go back, I plan to still go to teach, preach and train brothers and sisters in the church, and also go to the school to teach self-defense taekwondo. But I'm also planning to join forces with a medical missions team from Dallas of nurses and doctors. They went before I went to the Philippines, the same city, and also partnered with the city pastor of Jesus Cares Community Church, because one of the team members also now goes to Dallas Seminary. So, and they were also so excited about what God did through them there, through the medical mission trip. And they are planning to go back every year. So, Lord willing, I will try to work with them together. Those of you who have a heart to help those people who are sick and needy, people going to the hospital is not expensive, but drugs and medicine are very expensive there. And these doctors and nurses, they'll give out sample medicines for free to these poor people and help people with their practical needs and share the gospel with them. So that's a possibility. So the key for you to be truly blessed and happy is to trust and obey God, because you see your impotence, but you see God's omnipotence. That's one of the most important attributes of God. And I have gifts for each one of you. This would encourage you to set your foot in the Philippines in the future, if God will. And you'll see these flip-flop decorations for your cell phone. Each one takes up one. I bought 60 of them. So these on them write Cebu, Philippines. Oh, actually, just one. Okay. So one slipper for each, and a very nice slipper. Okay, you can actually buy it in the Philippines. That's just like this. So share this, pass this around. Each one pick one. Okay. And here's for this side. Okay. I hope you hang that to your cell phone, and every time you pick up your cell phone, think about God's will for you. If it's God's will for you to go to the Philippines, trust and obey, because that's the only way for you to be happy in Jesus. We will sing this song. I will let Nina lead this song, and I'd like to close my message with a prayer. Let's pray. Oh dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for using me as your instrument of the gospel, of your word. I'm not able. What I was able to do there was all because of your power, of your grace, of your enablement. Every single word that I spoke, it was because your spirit guided me to speak. Your spirit touched the hearts of these people who were so hungry and thirsty for righteousness, for your word. They're so poor in their spirit. They mourn, they suffer, but you love these people. That's why you sent me there, to experience your love. And I thank you, because in the end, it was I who experienced your mercy and your love. And I will not exchange for this happiness that lasts for anything in this world. That's the reason why people go back to serve God, trust and obey God to all nations, even some people don't understand. They think that suffering and that is because they have experienced this happiness that the world cannot give. They realize that reality. That's why they're willing to trust and obey. And God reward them greatly. I just want to ask your help to touch our hearts, that we will be willing to indeed to have our faith in you and know that we are not able, and there's no happiness that lasts in this world. The only happiness is through Christ and through trusting and obeying God. And I also pray that you will give us the boldness and the commitment to be willing to share the love and the gospel and the word of God with people who are in all nations, in the poor, underprivileged places. I also pray for all the missionaries. They are willing to trust you and obey you. You have rewarded them with great joy, even in suffering. That is something that we don't understand, but only those who trust and obey you can experience. Thank you for your awesomeness, for your love, and for your awesome promise through Jesus. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.